Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You know, Hakeem Jeffries in the House, Chuck Schumer in the Senate.
No! There's your answer, Michael. Fuck no. Chuck Schumer, he's still aroused. I don't want to hear that shit. This is what pisses me off. My God.
Hey, folks, I think I struck a nerve.
Oh, my God. There's a fucking populist moment out there. There's a demagogue in the White House burning this Constitution down. And I got to look at Chuck Schumer. And I respect the hell out of Hakeem Jeffries. But I don't need him quoting the Constitution to me. I need Democrats punching people. I'm sorry.
No, I don't, dude. Well, folks, today we unleash the hounds to go after the crazy. I'm excited to have my buddy Joe Walsh on the podcast today. This is going to be a lot of fun. He's a former member of Congress from the great state of Illinois, former presidential candidate back in the day, a radio host, and a man whose personal mission is to listen. Joe will tell you that he had become a part of the problem back in the day, and he's now taking the time to get it right and set it right. He's the host of the podcast, The Social Contract with Joe Walsh. He stands for being tolerant, being engaged, being respectful, and being informed. He joins me for a conversation about all the crap that's hitting the fan. Coming up next, right here on the Michael Steele Podcast, right after this.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Michael Steele Podcast. Yes, you see me here scratching my head. And for those of you just listening in your car, I'm scratching my head because I don't know what the fuck is going on. And so I don't get it. Today, we watched the United States Senate Majority Republican put Tulsi Gabbard in charge of our nation's secrets. That is some fucked up shit. I can't put it any straighter than that. Y'all should know by now how I feel about this. We're gonna get into it because I got my man who does not hold back. You think I'm tough? This brother, trust me. Joe Walsh, welcome to the podcast, man. It's good to have you back. A lot to get into. From Musk funking up the joint to Tulsi about to give away our nation's secret to Donald Trump with his head up the ass, as usual. What's your take on where we are week four?
Now that's Michael, that Mr. Chairman, that's such a good question. By the way, everything I do and everything I yell about, I learned at your knee so many years ago. So don't you dare put it all on me, Mr. Chairman. Because of you, I went to Congress, you big jerk.
Yeah, this is true.
This is true. I won by 290 votes, and your damn visit a week before Election Day did it. So don't you ever forget that. Michael, 4 weeks in, he's doing exactly what he said he'd do.
Yep.
Republicans, my former colleagues in Congress, are doing exactly what they said they'd do, laying down. And this country, every single day, is less safe and less secure. Yeah. And you just picked one. I mean, what the, right? I mean, we just put a woman in charge of our intelligence who at best, Michael, at best, is a Putin cheerleader. She now is in charge of America's intelligence.
Yeah. So. I think that that sums it up for me. I don't understand when you have Republicans. I put out a little bit earlier, shortly after this happened, you know, the fact that Republicans have been punking the American people now for quite some time, pretending that they are concerned and they're outraged. They are bothered by the incessant amount of bullshit that Donald Trump keeps putting out for them to vote on, to talk about, to justify. And they lead Americans to believe that somehow on this nomination, on this subject, on this event, on this vote, on this whatever, they are going to do the right thing. And invariably, the folks that you think would be in the breach are not. In this case, only one member of the Senate, Republican,
Mitch McConnell,
said our nation's secrets are too damn important to put in the hands of Tulsi Gabbard, who is politically all over the map. She's been a Democrat, she's been a Republican, she's been an independent. The bottom line, what we do know about Tulsi that's consistent is that she's an apologist for authoritarian leaders like Putin, that she's willing to sit down and share conversations with Assad, but not share with us what they talked about. So, you know, this is now where we find ourselves. And I'm just curious as to what you think the fallout from this will be. We're already beginning to see Pete Hegseth is over now with NATO, basically saying, hey, Ukraine, kiss your own ass because we ain't doing it for you. You on your own, baby. When this war is settled, don't expect us to defend you again in any way, shape, or form. Oh, by the way, we're not going to defend you now. So you need to go cut a deal with Putin. Oh, by the way, the president just had a conversation with Putin, so we know what the deal is going to be. I don't understand what people think. Oh, I'm sorry, Joe. I forgot. Damn it. The price of eggs. Oh, my God. I forgot. That's what this vote election was about. The price of eggs. Last time I checked at my Giant store, my wife just came back. She's like, hey, you know, eggs are $10 a dozen now.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. But I don't know, Joe, I'm all over the map because I'm frustrated. What you help me, man. Help me understand.
By the way, Michael, I love you and I love watching you every weekend on your show because you articulate the frustration that so many of us feel. Look, Tulsi Gabbard, I don't think can be trusted with our intelligence.
Right.
Because of her relationship with Assad and because of her relationship with too many shady characters in Russia. But Michael, can Trump be trusted? I mean, we talk about Tulsi.
Well, there is that.
Yeah. So the commander in chief. So Tulsi, I think, is a Putin cheerleader. What's Trump? So all of these nominees are exactly who he said he was going to pick. I'd love your take on this, Michael, because the thing I noticed was after Trump won in November, I heard from more and more Republicans who accepted Trump and Trumpism. Mm-hmm. So many that were on the fence so many that you and I knew who wanted him to lose and then maybe they can move on from him. The scary thing I think for America now is his hold is even greater. Even those of us who you and I thought were normal Republicans, they're full in now. So I don't think there's any walking back of what this party is now.
I agree with that. It, you know, it is a depressing realization. You left the party.
Yeah.
I'm still in it.
What the hell, Michael Steele? What the hell?
Well, dude, let me tell you what my thinking is. In the face of all of this crap that's thrown at us every damn minute of the day,
yeah,
someone's got to say, stop. Someone's got to say this is wrong. And you've got to find the balance between those like yourself who are on the outside of the party saying, what the hell are y'all doing?
Yeah.
Right? And to everybody else, because you stay very much in conversation with MAGA. I'm in and out. I have my limits. I have my limits. I'm like, you know what? I'm not about, I'm going to go drink.
Hey, Michael,
talk to you, right?
Michael, you're a religious man. I know that. My penance is to speak with MAGA every day because I used to be MAGA. That's my penance, man.
I get it. I totally get it. So that's one piece. The other piece for me is, okay, I'm inside the tent. I'm the one that organized the tent. You know, I was the one bringing people in and out of the tent. For me, leveling up that resistance voice to what has happened to the party, but more importantly, what is happening to the country, my hope is it has some resonance coming from someone who's still inside.
Agreed.
I would wish, like crazy, that elected folks inside the tent raised their hand, you know, and said, I'm sorry, I can't do this. I don't know what it would have hurt Susan Collins and Murkowski and Mitch McConnell and one more senator to say, you know what, time out, Trump. We with you, bro, but you're sending us a misfit, you know, group of nominees we cannot back. So we're just not going to support these. We're not moving forward. We're not voting them out of committee. They didn't have to be public about that. They could have had that conversation in the background with the White House, and Trump could have just very easily, you know what, Tulsi, I need you to step down. Hegseth, I need you to step down. Patel, I need you to step down. Now, we knew he wouldn't, so that means you may have to go a little bit public with the noise to draw the line. But it's this lack of resistance that I am dumbfounded. Was this what it was like in the 1930s? Is this what happened in Europe when people just looked at Hitler and go, cute mustache, but he's harmless. You know, guy's a little bit effeminate. I don't know. He does some strange things with his hands. You know, he can't be but so dangerous.
God, Michael, you and I talked about this so often during the campaign. I would come on your MSNBC show and I'd scream, don't normalize him.
Yes, don't you did. Yes.
But we normalized him.
We did.
And so he won because, okay, he's a bad guy, he's an asshole, blah, 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 whatever. But all politicians suck. I would hear that everywhere when I campaigned for Kamala Harris. So he won that fight. My fear is that we're normalizing him now again. After he won, we saw even more so now. Yeah, we saw a lot of Democrats go down to Mar-a-Lago to think that maybe they can work with him. Maybe they can coddle him. Maybe they and all this stuff that you and I said, Michael, during the campaign, he's a threat to democracy. Did they mean it? It's a really bad place. But I'm glad. Look, you and I were part of a weird alliance. There are those of us who kind of consider ourselves to be principled Reagan, Eisenhower, whatever you want to call it, conservative.
Right.
Some of us are in the party. Some of us are out of the party. Some of us are independent. But we're all kind of in the same tent trying to figure out how to resist. It's weird.
It is weird. It is very weird. And it is weird that we're here. It is weird that in the beginning of the next quarter of the 21st century, that America finds itself teetering on the brink of authoritarian presidencies. Because I suspect if this one has even any degree of success, I don't know how you measure that, that the next couple of presidencies could be a further emulation or imitation of this.
Yes.
And that to me is bothersome. When you go back and I'm going to recommend, I'm hoping to get him on the podcast in the next week or so. David French has a great piece out. I've been hawking it at every turn for people to go and read about the anti-constitutional constitution that Trump is creating real time. He is drafting a new constitution real right time, America. And your dumbasses are sitting there going, oh, but the price of eggs. Oh, but, you know, that's 53%, Joe, in the latest polling are like, yeah, we like this idea. Are people, Americans so, I don't know, what's the word, fed up, I guess, or frustrated with government that they believe that eliminating USAID, completely disintegrating the FBI and the Department of Justice, which, by the way, for white folks is more your friend than has been to black people. I'm sitting there going, you guys act like you've been persecuted for 400 years or 100 years by the Justice Department. But it just, what does MAGA think of the, take that back. I know what MAGA thinks of this moment. They're applauding, more please. What do those Republicans that you and I both know, some of whom I got elected in 2010, still serving, very few, but still serving, others now in various other walks of political and business life applauding this. What do you think they're saying? What's their thinking?
There was Michael, and again, to me, this is the scariest thing that America's got to wrap their arms around. We talk about kings and authoritarianism.
Right.
I'm telling you, because I engage with MAGA every day, the vast, 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 vast majority of MAGA wants to be ruled by a king. They want Trump to have whatever.
Why?
Unlimited. Because.
What's that thinking?
Because Michael, because he's going after the bad guys. MSNBC and CNN are the bad guys. Democrats are the enemy. I want my America back. I want to be able to say Merry Christmas again. Get us the hell out of NATO.
Who the fuck is stopping you from saying Merry Christmas?
Only, Michael, there are only two genders, and men married women. And they tell me this stuff every day. And for years, Michael, they've been telling me that the democratic process.
But do they know?
Can't get this back for them. So okay. It's got to be a strong man. It's got to be a strong man.
The strong man who paints his face every day, who pretends he has real hair, who thinks he's 250 pounds, the strong man who could not tell you anything about how government functions or operates. I mean, in terms of the programs that people need, the strong man who has no empathy for when tragedy hits your city or your state, where he just rather come and stand in a room and throw toilet paper or paper towels at you.
Yes.
As opposed to.
Yes.
So yes. That's what they want.
Yeah. And Michael, they won't change until they feel real pain. But then there are the other Republicans and independents who voted for Trump who I call I don't care people. They would tell me to my face in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Arizona, a million of them would say, Joe, I know he's a bad fucking guy, but I don't care because of whatever, because of the border, because Democrats are out of touch, because Joe Biden is 150 years old. There was always, I know he's a bad guy, Joe, but I don't care. Now they're reachable again, Michael.
Right. So tell me how's that?
But Democrats, and I mean, our Democratic Party's got some issues that they need to overcome real quick.
But real Joe, quick. We're not, Joe, we cannot rely on the Democratic Party to fix this problem.
No, but politically, Michael, what's the first thing that has to happen? I mean, you led the show by saying what's going to happen. We're going to undergo serious damage. Every day we are with him. But Democrats have to take back the House in 26. Like, that's the first kind of political target.
Right.
But they're not going to do that unless they get their act together, because, and they're the only game in town. So all these talks before the election about a third party and blah, 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 that's all out the window now. That's all out the window. None of that. It's only the Democrats right now who need to get their act together to stop MAGA politically. And we have to help them, because neither one of you or I in this crazy independent coalition, we're not Democrats. We have to help them. And some of us, Michael, are becoming Democrats, but I know you and I aren't there yet. But
No, I can't. I don't know. I have this little thing in how my mama raised me. And she was like, and she was a Democrat. My mom was a Democrat. My dad, who's still alive at 93, will be 94 this year, still a Democrat. And I am blessed by the fact that they were, but they raised a Republican. They raised a conservative Republican. And I actually believe the words of Lincoln. I believe the words of the Constitution. I'm dumb enough to believe the words of the men who owned my lineage, my family members as slaves.
Yeah.
That this great country that they were trying to form stood as a symbol for the very things that they lived in opposition. They owned slaves while they talked about free men and women, right? Yes. They didn't give women the right to vote as they talked about, you know, the very foundations of the country being open to all who would come here. They would go on to create this thing called birthright citizenship that we know it today. And yes, now I find it somewhat ironic that the Trump administration is arguing, well, that was for Black people. It wasn't meant for Hispanics. It was just meant for Black people. So anybody else who's not Black, born in this country, is not a citizen. Is that your argument before the court? So I am connected to those traditional principles and values in a way that, for me, I just can't tripwire out of them because of the bullshit that's coming from a once great party that has now been metastasized and morphed into this unholy creature that, yes, in my view, now needs to be extinguished. So you kill it from the outside, I kill it from the inside, and then together we will stand on the ashes of its corpse, and something else will be born out of it. That's my thinking.
Hey, Mr. Chairman.
It's also why I drink at 10 o'clock in the morning.
that's why I drink tequila. Mr. Chairman, you're asked this question all the time. I'm asked this question all the time. Will that death blow to this creature, as you call it, and something good, decent arises again, will that happen in our lifetime? I'm always asked that question.
I think my answer is yes. My answer is yes, because it dovetails into what you were saying a little bit earlier about what is going to be required in this fight. It is not just the Democratic Party that will pull us through this. I mean, they'll do the politics. They'll do it somewhat ineptly.
Yes.
Folks like you and me will do our best to help on that front.
Yes.
But it is, I think, at the end of the day, Joe, reminding people of the thing I was just talking about, reminding them of the thing that, to be honest, is why I always tell people they really did not understand the Tea Party of 2010.
Yeah.
They get it wrong. They think that the Joe Walsh in 2010 is MAGA in 2016. I'm like, no, baby boy, that's not, you totally missed that.
Amen.
There was a constitutional argument that was made about the value of the proposition of freedom and independence and a government that was getting too big for itself, getting too big for the citizens, a government. And now, as we know, it is sort of grown into this executive branch that was overreaching. That was what the frustration with a lot of the Bush policies were.
Oh my God.
Republicanism.
Michael, right? you are so spot on, because most people forget the Tea Party began with W before Obama got elected.
Yeah.
But then when Obama got elected, Michael, I can remember being in Congress with Jim Jordan, the old Jim Jordan.
Right.
And if Barack Obama even looked at a pen to even think about an executive order, Jim Jordan and I were calling a press conference and screaming from the high heavens.
Yes.
But you're right, Michael. That Tea Party, it morphed into MAGA and lost a lot of us. But
right.
Yeah.
It is an interesting transition that the country's going through. And it's funny because in one sense, arguably, that's what happened with the Whigs.
Yes.
The Whigs were stuck on the post of slavery and did not know how to get off of it. And as a consequence, there was a revolt within it that broke off, called itself Republican, right, because of this republic. And they would stand as the vanguard against the expansion of slavery, the leveling up of the rights of citizenship for Black men and women, freed Black men and women. And that became sort of the burning passion of the party, even though its leader, Lincoln, was conflicted. And reflected that conflict in many respects.
So that, Michael, that's it. It's so interesting what you're saying. You're describing kind of a principled conservative resistance. You're kind of describing like Republicans, former Republicans, conservatives, kind of like out there in the wilderness somewhere, almost in exile. But like, Michael, what does that look like? Like, what do we do?
Right.
I keep thinking about that. There are a bunch of us. What do we do? It's interesting.
I think that question, as we now look at this iteration of the party, stuck on the issue of constitutional principles, norms, yes, and freedoms.
Yeah.
What is there within it, a group that will cleave off and stand principally for those things that this party is no longer standing for? And I think that's going to be part of an ongoing conversation. We know, we'll get into this in a little bit, a number of folks will be coming into town for the Principles First convening next weekend. And we'll get into what that looks like in a moment, but I think you're seeing some of these voices and efforts kind of come together, to level up again, this idea of what Madison and Hamilton and others talked about in the Federalist Papers and making the case for the Constitution. And going back to what David French was talking about in his new piece, which, you know, talks about the sort of the anti-federalist position, which is now a number of us find ourselves arguing because of this idea of how much the underlying principles of federalism have been warped. So you've almost got to retwist the knot in a way to get back to the very thing that you fundamentally believe in.
Mike,
and that's the struggle right now.
That's the struggle, Michael. And if I were still in Congress right now, if I were a Republican right now, and I would still be the principled Tea Party guy, and I saw what Trump and Musk were doing, the limited government constitutionalist I am, I'd demand hearings in Congress right now. Haul Elon in front of Congress under oath and find out what he's doing. What is he doing? That's Congress's job. But so Congress has abandoned.
Why won't they do that?
Huh?
Why won't Democrats or anybody do that? I mean, can't the Senate? I mean, Senate has that power, doesn't it? I mean, does it have to go to the House? I mean, somewhere between these two chambers, somebody can do something, right?
Right. But the majority party controls the hearing schedule. And so our Republican brothers and sisters no longer adhere to the Constitution. They're just going to let Elon and Trump do whatever they want. Again, that would have been anathema to them back in the Obama days, and maybe think they'll be able to eliminate a couple government agencies. I mean, Mike Lee, Michael, who I adored Mike Lee back when we got elected together. I thought he was the most principled constitutional conservative I knew. Yeah. Mike Lee now is full on MAGA, and he's out there right now calling for investigations into these judges in courts, which are looking at what Trump is doing. So it's just completely upside down. They've abandoned their obeyance to the Constitution.
So how should a Democrat, you know, Hakeem Jeffries in the House, Chuck Schumer in the Senate?
No! There's your answer, Michael. Fuck no. Chuck Schumer, he's still aroused. I don't want to hear that shit. This is what pisses me off. My God.
Hey, folks, I think I struck a nerve.
Oh, my God, there's a fucking populist moment out there. There's a demagogue in the White House burning this Constitution down. And I got to look at Chuck Schumer. And I respect the hell out of Hakeem Jeffries. But I don't need him quoting the Constitution to me. I need Democrats punching people. I'm sorry.
It's so nice to be able to... Watch you channel a little Michael Steele.
I wish they thought like you and I did.
I don't understand this crew. I mean,
I wish Democrats could talk to regular people like you and I do. I don't get it.
I don't get it. I really don't get it.
Schumer.
We will no more Schumer. No more Schumer. So the fight then. Give me then more of the Democrats who are in those trenches. The younger members seem to be much more engaged and want to engage in the fight than we certainly see from the older establishment types. That is a good thing. But how do they coordinate that? I mean, I thought, to be honest, there'd be more folks on the streets by now. But maybe they've sort of are afraid because Donald Trump arresting you, his Justice Department arresting you, your ass may never be seen again.
Michael, I think there is a lot of fear, and I've heard a lot of fear. But I do think taking it to the streets is going to happen. I do think this is going to slowly and then very quickly become something.
Right.
Look, we need a populist fighter on the Democratic side. They're wrestling. Is it going to be a far left fighter or a center left fighter? Bernie 20 years ago, I know he's far left, but he might have been a good fighter. Mm-hmm. AOC, I love Kim Crockett in the
Give me more Jasmine Crockett.
Thank you, Jasmine Crockett. Thank you.
40 or 50 more of her. You have a whole different. You have a whole different ball game.
Agreed. We need a lot more of that. And I don't care that they're young. I don't care white, black, brown. I don't care what color, gender you are. I want principled fighters who recognize that this is a street fight. The Democrats have to find that in their DNA. Michael, eventually it's got to come from a face or a voice.
Right.
I'm thinking of a Democratic governor. I don't see that face or voice out there yet.
Right.
A fighting.
What does a Fetterman do right now? I've heard a number of people kind of leveling up Senator Fetterman and saying, you know, Democrats need to cut him some slack, you know, so he wants to wear cutoff, you know, shorts and, you know, hoodies and all this other stuff. I'm like, okay, well, I won't get into how he looks and decorum. That's not the most important thing, I guess. But I mean, what does someone like him? He went down to Mar-a-Lago. Hell if I know why, but he went down to Mar-a-Lago. He had a conversation with Trump. My attitude is if Trump likes you, that means that you were obsequious enough to let him believe that you actually, I can be, you know, sort of reshaped. But what do you think?
I think Fetterman someone like Fetterman has appeal. I'm not bothered by the way he looks or how he dresses. I think, Michael, I'm very pro-Israel. You're very pro-Israel. That's a difficult party for Democrats. It does divide their coalition.
Right.
They got to get their arms around that. Fetterman is very pro-Israel. Someone like that, but I don't know that he's it. But then he did go down to Mar-a-Lago. To me, if I were a Democrat, that's my red line. I don't want a face or voice that believes that I can work with this guy who lies every time he opens his mouth and wants to destroy the Justice Department and the FBI. I'm not going to hold his hand. So to me, when Fetterman went down there, Michael, you're a historian, Michael. We've never been at this moment where we literally have danger to this country.
I just don't know why people don't see that. That's, I guess, Joe's part of my inner frustration. It's like when you see, everyone has a situation in their family or in their group, you know, group of friends, where there's that one who goes, y'all buying this shit from her or from him? Y'all, really? And everybody's kind of looking at that one friend or that one family member and go, well, what's your problem? It's like, okay, well, besides the fact that they're always stealing money from you and they, you know, clearly have an alcohol problem or a drug problem, or they lie every time they open their mouths. I don't understand why people don't see that part of that, the way you and I and others, a very small group of others, look at Trump and have looked at Trump for a long time. I mean, it's not like, oh, we just suddenly, in the last cycle. I go back to 2013, the first time I met with him. I was like, okay, this motherfucker is a little bit cray cray, right? And I don't get the orange tanning thing. It's not working. But so when people come at me, I'm like, dude, you've never had a meeting with him. I have. You've never been in a room with him. I have. You've never talked to him. I have. I don't understand what you don't see. But
well, Michael, for our Republican brethren, it's the end of their career and livelihood. If you stand up.
Okay. I see your point.
Yeah.
I see your point. Yes.
And Kinzinger, we're done. We can never get elected as a Republican. And Michael, because of your stance, you can never get elected in this Republican Party. Never. And if you're a Democrat, I think one of the lessons they're taking is the whole existential threat to democracy thing didn't work. So we have to figure out a way to work with him and hit him on economic issues. That just doesn't do it for me.
Joe Walsh, he's a former member of Congress from the great state of Illinois. We're having a great conversation. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about some of the steps that are being created for a stronger resistance. Just put it that way. Joe Walsh and I will be right back.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Going online without ExpressVPN is like leaving your laptop unattended at a coffee shop while you decide to go to the car to get something from it. Most of the time, you're probably fine. But what if one day you come back from your car and your laptop is gone? Every time you connect to an unencrypted network in cafes, hotels, airports, your online data is not secure. Any hacker on that same network can gain access to and steal your personal data, passwords, bank logins, credit card details. It doesn't take much technical knowledge to hack someone. All you need is some cheap hardware, and even a smart 12-year-old could do it. And they usually do. You know that. You've asked your cousin to help you get into the computer, right? You understand. Selling personal information on the dark web, right? That's what this is about. Your data is valuable. Hackers can make up to $1,000 per person. ExpressVPN stops hackers from stealing your data by creating a secure encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet. ExpressVPN is rated number one by top tech reviewers like CNET and The Verge, and it's easy to use. Fire up the app and click one button to get protected. It's that simple. My podcast producers use ExpressVPN to protect their data and help my show keep running smoothly. Secure your online data, folks, today by visiting expressvpn.com/steal. That's expressvpn.com/steal. And you can get an extra 4 months free. expressvpn.com/steal. Elevating your style can mean breaking the bank. But with Quince, I get high-end versatile pieces at prices that are completely affordable. Now I can upgrade my style by snagging killer luxury essentials that sync with my vibe and my wallet. Quince has all the must-haves like Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweaters from $50, iconic 100% leather jackets, and versatile flow knit activewear. All of it's really cool attire, folks. The best part, though, is all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings directly to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. I've got some beautiful items from Quince that complement my wardrobe expertly. I look marvelous. I love them, and you will too. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/steal for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/steal to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/steal. Welcome back, everybody, to Michael Steele Podcast. I'm having a great conversation with my buddy Joe Walsh. If you haven't gathered by now, this is a little bit cathartic for both of us.
Fuck you, Michael.
Well, it is.
Come close to dropping the F-bomb on your MSNBC show?
Oh, my God, yes. Yes, okay. Quite a bit.
How you don't.
Kyle Griffin, my executive producer, is in my ear all the time. Now chairman. Now chairman. Then I look across at the table at Simone, and she gives me that. Don't you do that. But every once in a while it happens. Joe is the host of a great podcast, folks, The Social Contract with Joe Walsh. Definitely check it out because he, look, I give Joe a lot of credit. He has done something that a lot of folks don't do, at least not to the degree that he does or we all probably should. And that is keep the lines of communication open with a lot of folks in the MAGA space. And when you listen to Joe's podcast or you follow him on X or Blue Sky, you hear those voices coming back. And I do appreciate that part where you kind of get people, hey guys, chill, understand this is what they're saying. This is what the moment is. But you also show your frustration.
Well,
when they clearly don't listen.
I know you, and I laugh about it a lot, but I am a weird duck in that I really am a reformed MAGA gangbanger. I mean, it's like I left my family.
Right.
So I really do feel obligated to try to help them, knowing that I don't succeed with most, but I feel like it's my responsibility to try to help, but it's tough.
I like the way you just put that, MAGA gangbanger, because Trump is a thug right now.
Yeah.
He's acting like a thug. I've talked to a number of my friends and they're like, dude, he's coming hard with the thug life. I mean, it's just, this boy is just like, I don't give a shit. Y'all can't stop me. You know, it is.
He's untouchable, Michael. He thinks he's untouchable right now.
And so that for me is probably the most frustrating part of this, because there are a lot of ways to touch him.
Yeah.
And no one seems to want to do that. And I don't understand why we don't do more in that space.
Well, all his nominees got through. And I think you said this to me in December. Hell, they probably would have approved Matt Gaetz.
Yes, they would have.
Yeah.
I don't even understand what that
So all his nominees got through. I've heard from Freedom Caucus guys that they will fight Trump in March on budget and debt ceiling stuff, but I don't know how that will.
No, they won't. I don't think they will. I think what they're going to offshore that fight to the Democrats, and this is where the Democrats go, you know what? I've got a hair appointment. Y'all let me know when y'all work that out, because y'all got the majority, unitary government.
Absolutely. None of
this shit. This is why, like, this morning, the new numbers come out for inflation, and Donald Trump is like, Joe Biden inflation is. Yeah. I'm like, no, baby, this is on your watch. This is on you, boo. Stop it. This is you. Trust me, because if the numbers were good, he'd be out there going, see, I got elected and the world is. And it's like, no, it's not. That's not how it is. So this is on you, Donald Trump. This is your inflation. As of January 20, you own all this shit. It's all you, period.
And Michael, we've always had a failure of imagination with Trump. Like 20 years ago, you and I never would have thought a presidential candidate loses an election and then doesn't concede. That happened. And then tries to overthrow an election. That happened. We've never imagined the worst about Trump. And I don't want to sound like a goof, but I'm not convinced he won't try to run again. Michael, if he doesn't, I know he will wait until the very last second. So everybody better buckle up and imagine the worst.
There's already, I forget who the asshole in the House is, but there's always already a member who's proposed an amendment to the Constitution to allow him to run. I'm like, no, what are you doing? How the hell does this party embrace such Putin-esque leadership? We were the party of Reagan. I do not understand. Ronald Reagan called out the evil empire. He defeated communism
and
Soviet regimes. He tore down the wall. He and Bush together.
I don't understand how
this party comes to this point where they look at that. They look at Viktor Orban and say, yeah, we want to do that shit here. They look at Putin and go, more of that. We hate NATO now. We don't align with the free world. We want to hang out with basically folks who are the Taliban. I don't understand. Because
these elected Republicans now line up with their base. And as you and I talked about, the base embraces authoritarianism. They want a strong man, especially in my old place of the House. These House Republicans reflect the base. Michael, disagree with me, but even 10, 15 years ago, I'll bet you 80%, 85% of the Republican caucus was anti-Russia. But I'll bet you now it's 50-50. I mean, what percentage of the Republicans?
This caucus is probably 70-30.
Pro-Russia.
Pro-Russia.
Not pro-Ukraine.
Oh, yeah. No, I think poor Volodymyr Zelensky, dude, you on your own. That's why the number of international forums that I've been to in the last year.
Yeah.
I look at the audience, I go, okay, is there someone here in Europe? Which country is prepared to lead NATO? Which country is prepared to stand for or be a part of the resistance to the expansion of authoritarianism. Y'all can't afford to bow down and let this shit run over you the way it's happening here in the United States. You cannot allow more Viktor Orbans on your continent. You just can't, because Eastern Europe will be the first to fall. Poland is next. You don't believe me? Trust me, it's happening. China is posed to move on Taiwan.
Amen.
They are ready to do that. You don't believe me? Why? Because the goalposts have been put in place for them to cross. They've been put in place by Republicans who have turned a blind eye, adopted I don't give a shit attitude about these things connected to global freedom, global marketplaces. We're now the party, Joe, that's advocating not just a tariff on one country, but on every country imaginable.
Michael, when you helped send me to Congress, it was an overwhelmingly free trade party.
Yes.
It's completely flipped.
Completely. In literally 15 years, we've gone from the election in 2010 to the elections that just took place in 24. We've watched a 180-degree shift in what it means to be a free trade Republican. Mm-hmm. That person doesn't exist in the House anymore. And to the extent that they do, they don't have the reinforcement of other members to help them in that space. So you've got the dismantling of programs like USAID. Yeah. You've got the dismantling of institutions like the FBI, the Justice Department, the Department of Health. Looks like they will actually finally, after 40 plus years of making the case, get rid of the Department of Education. So, Joe, here's my question that these motherfuckers in Congress seemingly don't have an answer for. What happens next? When the Department of Education no longer exists, is it just block grants now? How do we educate? What happens to public school education in this country when the poorest states in the union, who are used to getting money from states like California, New York, that they like to shit on, right? But are ignorant to the fact, Sarah Huckabee, that you don't contribute to the educational economy. You are a recipient of the largesse of states like Maryland and New York and California and Washington, who contribute far more to educating your children than you do. So what do you do when our check no longer comes? What happens when the state of California go, oh, we don't have to contribute to the federal Department of Education? We keeping that shit here in California. We're not putting any money into the federal bucket.
And Michael, let's be clear about something. None of this has anything to do with the debt. Because we're talking peanuts in the federal budget. Peanuts. A second point I'd make is he cannot get rid of the Department of Education on his own, period. That was created by a law, Congress. So he can't get rid of it. But Michael, what they'll do is they'll do what they're doing with USAID again, which is way less than 1% of the budget. They'll just try to kill it and decimate it. Michael, he wants to get rid of FEMA. So natural disaster in Mississippi, you pay for it. Alabama, tornadoes, you pay for it. Fuck you. You pay for it. Idaho, you pay for it. Hey, Michael, you know the beautiful thing about him is, here's the beautiful thing about Trump. He's forcing us like now.
Yeah.
To fucking decide what kind of country we want to be.
Amen.
He's forcing a nation of laws or not. Man, you decide. Decide.
There it is. There it is.
I think that's good.
I do. I do.
For the record, Steele and I are not drinking. This is a sober
We're not podcast. Drinking. Folks, I have to be honest. I joke about drinking because my dad was an alcoholic. So I get it. So don't. you know, a lot of people go, oh, you really, you shouldn't. Look, trust me, I grew up with it. I understand. And so that's how I internalize it and deal with it. And I like a good drink every now and then, but no, I'm not literally drinking at 10 a.m. So, there are days, when my wife looks at me, why is the bar light on? I'm like, yeah. Baby, it just started that way today.
But Michael,
you put your finger, Joe, on a very important piece. And I really appreciate that, because when I go back and I look at the places I visited in 2024, the states I spent time in, and the conversations we would have, that's what it really kind of boiled down to. I would say to the audience, and folks who listen to my podcast have heard me say this, we are right now where we are.
Yeah.
Because this is where you want us to be.
Yes.
This is where you want us to be, boo. Yes. I'm sorry. You know, a majority, I don't care if it's a tenth of a percent or, you know, 90% voted for this. Y'all pretend it was about the price of gas and eggs and what was happening in Gaza in Michigan, for example. Y'all just put your head in the sand and said, oh, no, we're with Trump. I'm like, but you know, he's with Netanyahu, who wants to exterminate the Palestinians. So, okay, so what are you telling me? Y'all can't pretend this bullshit away. You can't sit here now and act like, oh, you didn't know. You did know. And you knew exactly what you wanted. And that's why we're here where we are. So I appreciate very much what you're saying, Joe, because this is a moment where we have to confront ourselves.
It's like, Michael, it's like, again, it's the beauty of Trump, because he's so bad and so dishonest and so corrupt and so lawless. He's going to force us real quickly to decide what we want to be. And I think that because we've been building to this for a while.
Yep.
All politicians lie, all fudge, many are corrupt, blah, blah, blah. But Trump's just all of that on steroids. So we can't avoid it. Democracy, do we want to keep it?
Right.
Separation of powers, do we want to keep it? We're going to have to decide.
We are. And to the point that we were making a little bit earlier, we have a group of friends that are trying to help crystallize that decision. And they're going to be gathering next weekend here in Washington, D.C., Principles First. Talk a little bit about that. What does that look like?
We alluded to it before, Michael. It's people like you and me. It's people who feel like they still feel Republican.
Right.
Because the party of Lincoln, Eisenhower, Reagan, they still feel Republican. Many of them are still. Many of them have left. Many of them are conservative, independent. And they feel in exile right now because this party, there ain't no home for them in this party. They don't identify as Democrats. So they're like, they're all huddled up over here in this apartment building I'm looking at outside the window. And they're trying to figure out how in exile.
Right.
We can go at what this thing is, because it's the antithesis, MAGA, of everything we believe in. Freedom, democracy, free trade, America, that shining city on the hill. Damn it, we still believe in these things. So how can we, from that little apartment building, throw rocks at what MAGA is? And maybe, Michael, one day down the road, help get people out of that apartment building who once believed in those things elected again. It's kind of that notion that we're in exile and we're trying to help Democrats, but go after MAGA because they're the antithesis of what people like you and me believe.
Our buddy Heath Mayo is the driving force, or has been the driving force behind this, along with some others in putting this together. I remember this started a few years ago, and they're in their first planning, and they were hoping to get 250 people to show up. About 750 showed up that first year. This year is looking to be a larger contingent. So that tells me that there is an energy in this space for center right, center left, Democrats, Republicans, independent voters who are just fed up with this bullshit, who, to your point, made a little a moment ago are confronting the moment we're in.
Yeah.
And are making an affirmative decision to stand with the country, however that may manifest itself, yes. Whether it is fighting purely in the democracy space, trying to move and shake in the political space, either as a candidate or as an organizer or someone who's just trying to, you know, like you do, have the conversation in their community with their family members to help put a light bulb, yeah. Turn a light bulb on. So these things are happening, folks, and it's refreshing. It is exciting, but it is also sometimes met with frustration because what we're talking is incremental movement. It's yeah. Not MAGA's moving like this. It's just whoosh, whoosh. And we're in a space, Joe, you and I were like, okay, we moved from here to there. You know, it's frustrating, but that's how it probably was in 1854.
Yeah, and you know what, Michael, one other point I'll make, and you and I were probably raised the same. I don't talk about myself. You don't talk about yourself. We laugh about it and joke about it. This hasn't been easy for guys like you and I.
No.
I mean, we were part of that party for our whole life, and we were on the outs. This isn't easy. This is difficult. You and I put up with shit and threats yep. and hate. We've lost friends and followers. We are able to laugh at times, but this, Michael, this isn't easy for people
it's
like us.
It's not easy. Look, Joe, next year, next November, I will celebrate 50 years as a Republican.
Oh my gosh. Woo! Michael Steele.
50 years. In this party. And dude, wow. The shit I've seen.
Oh my God.
And had to go through, the resistance to my leadership, the resistance to me as a Black man.
Yeah.
And yet for me, a lot of people go, well, you know, why did you stay? Why would you, you know, these guys are racist or this, that, and other thing. And it really for me was, when my mama said to me in the summer of 1976,
jeez,
don't be a Democrat because I'm a Democrat. Go yeah. out and figure out for yourself where you belong.
Yeah.
What you believe in. And I did. I took her to heart and made that journey, researched, learned about the history of each party, recognizing that this party was where African Americans began their political journey in this country, where we would find political resonance and voice, where we would be elected for the first time as members of Congress, as governors, as senators, because we were, you know, the yeah. first Black members of Congress were Republicans. The first Black senator was Republican.
Yeah.
And so we had that space. But even in those moments, they had to deal with the resistance to yeah. Reconstruction.
Yeah.
They had to deal with a party capitulating and allowing the segregationists to reclaim the South and to yeah. reclaim, in some measure, a part of their freedom.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
When we yeah. watch, when they sat in the House of Congress and watched the blind-eyed political approach to the South reemerging and the then president becoming Johnson having become president upon the assassination of Lincoln
yeah.
begin to roll back some of those gains and to soft pedal them and so I could identify. As weird as it is, I could identify with those brothers.
Wow.
And they did not give up on this idea of the Republican Party being the party where their freedom would ultimately rest and would be saved for them and for future generations. And that, if you just take those moments, Joe, and you leapfrog them to the 1950s and the 1960s, where it was Republicans who helped hold together the pieces that Johnson needed to sign legislation.
Right, right, right.
Leveling up civil rights for, right. for Black men and women. So that's you know, I look at that 50 years and I go, shit. It's been a bitch. But principally underneath it, I align with a guy from Illinois who's running for Congress who believes the Constitution means something. And he calls the RNC and says, hey, dude, I'm running. I need some help. I need some help. And I'm like, yes, let's do that, because we need those voices that appreciate the value of this Constitution and why it's so damn important. Now you know why Joe Walsh, folks, was important in 2010.
Well, and now you know why Michael Steele was important, because he somehow brought the establishment Republicans and the Tea Party Republicans together.
Yeah.
That wasn't easy.
Dude, it was not. It was a mama and a daddy who really wanted to divorce. And you were like, but no, you can't. But yeah, man, I mean, that's what this moment has come down to for me, which is why, you know, when I see an Adam Kinzinger, Liz Cheney, God bless her, you know, you and so many others who do break away and go, no, because this Constitution means something. These principles that we aligned ourselves with politically under the umbrella of this party still mean something. The party may be for shit, right?
Yeah.
But the principles that it once articulated still do mean something. And that's why those voices like yours and mine and others are so important. So this gathering of principles first says a lot, because it's leveling up the important thing. Principles first.
Bingo. Bingo. You got to start somewhere. It's
you got to start somewhere.
It's a resistance. And you're right, Michael. It's all about pushing these principles wherever it takes us.
So I'm going to give you the last word on the social contract, because you talk about that a lot on your podcast. What is that social contract for us right now? What does it mean in your view? And what do we need to value once again about it in order to move forward?
So, and very quickly, Michael, so I started this thing called the social contract because of my history. And we love each other like brothers.
Yep.
But back in the day, Joe Walsh was a divisive SOB. I helped to divide the country. People like me helped lead to Trump. We inflamed the base. I woke up 6-7 years ago. So now I'm trying to help heal the divide that people like me created. To me, the social contract is just our responsibilities as free citizens. Be tolerant, be respectful, stay informed, and most importantly now, be engaged. And this moment in time says to be engaged, to resist civil disobedience, whatever it takes to resist this authoritarianism we face now.
Podcast is The Social Contract with Joe Walsh. He is a former member of Congress. He is a buddy and friend in the battle. He is a voice out there I hope everyone pays attention to and listens
to. Love me some Michael Steele. Love me some Michael Steele.
I appreciate you, brother, and I appreciate you taking time to come on and be with us today. That does it for this time together, folks. You know what you need to do, that voodoo that makes Joe and myself very happy. Download, show some love, share and like. We really do appreciate it when you do that. I especially appreciate the Bulwark platform for allowing the Michael Steele podcast to have some fun. Until next time, folks, pay attention to what's happening. We have a lot of family and friends and neighbors who are under assault because they just served the country.
Yes.
As a federal employee, as a member of our departments of justice or the FBI, public servants who actually gave a damn and sacrificed the big paychecks so services could be brought to your community. Not always perfect, right? We could always talk about some changes, but what we see happening to them right now is not what we do as American citizens. Amen. So We show love for them, and guys, stay in the fight. All right. Catch you later.
Hi, I'm John Fugelsang.
And I'm Professor Corey Brettschneider.
And we are here to tell you about The Oath and the Office, an essential new podcast about the extremely strange times we find ourselves in.
In the first few seconds in office, the President of the United States is required to take an oath to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution. And we're going to hold him to that pledge, despite the fact that he has threatened democracy and even the law itself.
It's all about hope for what democracy should look like and getting real about what our democracy does look like from an esteemed constitutional scholar and a deeply unqualified comedian.
Subscribe to The Oath and the Office wherever you get your podcasts.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.